in a Bloom County cartoon, Opus the penguin was suffering from a faith crisis. You know how penguins have a hard time with faith crises. So he stands in front of a television set and he says, "I believe in our government." And the TV announcer says, "Today, the president admitted to sending a personally autographed copy of Leo Bascaglia's book, Living, Loving, and Hugging, to Libyan President Gaddafi." So Opus walks into the next room and he says, "I have faith in the forces of capitalism." Just then his friend Milo reads from the newspaper, "Today on Wall Street, everybody but the hot dog vendors were busted." He moves on to another room, and Opus says aloud, "Well, there's always religion." Meanwhile, his friend Steve Dallas reads from a magazine, "Oral Roberts strangled Jimmy Swaggart and ran off with Tammy Baker's drug counselor." Opus is dismayed, disillusioned, and discouraged. He steps out onto the porch and asks aloud, "What can a fellow believe in anymore? Are there no more bastions of purity?" Suddenly, he sees a pregnant woman, and rushing to embrace her, he yells victoriously, "Motherhood!" And she yells out just as much, "Surrogate!" It's difficult to know what to believe in these days, isn't it? It just seems like we are bombarded through the news and through our own personal experience with things that cause us to question what's real, what's honest, what's true, what in fact is there to believe in. In his book, Life After God, Douglas Copeland writes about the first 35 years of his life. His upbringing and his young adult life had lacked direction, meaning, purpose, and value. He represents a generation and the generations coming up behind him. What do you believe about life? What do you understand the meaning of life to be? Bruno Bettelheim remarked, "If we hope to live not just from moment to moment, but in true consciousness of our existence, then our greatest need and most difficult achievement is to find meaning in our lives." The Bible tells us about a person by the name of Job. Job was devoted to God, and God blessed him. But God also allowed Job's faith to be tested. And so, in the course of that test, Job lost most of his family and most of his wealth. He was understandably anguished. And in that anguish, he cried out to his friends, "I despise my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. My days have no meaning." And I think this event and this short passage really drive through something that we need to be reminded of, we need to get our hands around. The idea that even godly people struggle with meaning in life. Israel's King Solomon reflected on this throughout his search for life's meaning in his book Ecclesiastes. And in that book, which, as Vern read from earlier, which is included in the Bible, Solomon was determined in the course of searching throughout life to find meaning. But as he did so, as his life wrapped up, he found that humans typically give our lives to things that are focused on our own achievements, that seems to be how we search for meaning in life, doing something that will bring attention or a sense of achievement to ourselves by way of our own achievements. But ultimately, as Solomon would find and point out, all of those things in search for meaning are meaningless. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and verses 16 through 17, he said, "When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not sleeping day or night, then I saw all that God had done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out," and boy, Solomon could speak with a voice of authority there, Man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. I think Solomon said this based upon his search that had to do with finding meaning in the things of life, perhaps rather than the things that exceed life. Closely related to the question of meaning is the question, what is the purpose of life? A survey just 3 years ago found that 77% of Americans rate having a clear purpose for living, and 70% rate making a difference in the world as being a very important element in their life. So this business of purpose of life is very high on the scale for almost all of us. And if it's not the highest or amongst the highest things, it's very close to that. But one observer of our culture believes that in the 2000s, the time in which we're living, our young people lost their purpose. We have many in this generation who simply have no idea why they are here. They have lost the very essence and purpose of their life. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that young people around you have lost a sense of purpose and meaning in life? Maybe they don't show it. Maybe somehow it's not demonstrated. But get into a conversation with them, particularly those that don't have some kind of a clear and strong religious grounding. What do they see as the meaning and the purpose of their lives and of life as a whole? You may be surprised. The Bible argues that the further we move away from God, the less sense of purpose of life that we have, because we create our purpose without God. Think about that. The further we move away from God, the less sense of purpose we have of life, because we create meaning and purpose without God. Proverbs 19, verse 21 asserts, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So you and I may have grand plans, and you know, our plans may not be bad in and of themselves. We may have very good intentions about those plans. We may be planning for things that as we see it, and as we've studied and as we've been taught, are things that are of God. But if there are plans instead of God's plans, our purposes instead of God's purposes, they won't stand up. God's purposes will prevail despite all. God has plans and purposes that override ours, and thank God for that. His plans and His purposes are greater than you and I could ever conceive, than we could ever develop, even with the combination of the greatest minds. And they're more than we have the ability to make happen. Speaking to Christians, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, the writer says of this of God, "He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment." A time of fulfillment that we don't know about, we haven't set, we don't understand, but that God does, because He's the one who set it. "To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him," that is in Christ, "we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will." How wondrous that God has a purpose and a plan for this life, this earth time that we live within, and that God will pursue that to His accomplishment for our benefit. God's purpose is further revealed as the writer continues in Ephesians in chapter 2 and in verses 4 through 7. He says there, "But because of His great love for us," that is God, "God who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. But he doesn't stop there. He continues in chapter 3 and verses 10 through 12 to say this of God. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. God's purpose is to bless us. God's purpose is invested in us. But there's one more question that has to do with this business of meaning and purpose for our lives. And that is the question of the value of life. Someone figured out many decades ago that when you reduce our physical bodies to their base, that at that point in time, our bodies were worth something like less than $2. Well, you and I are worth a great deal more than $2. The answers we find to the questions of meaning and purpose of life determine not only the value of life in general, but the value of our lives personally in particular. So that means that you and I must be discerning in our search for answers to the question, what is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? What is the value of life? After all, as we go about searching those questions out to find meanings, purpose, and value, our life as a whole depends upon it. The Bible declares from Genesis chapter 1 that God values us as human beings above everything else in his creation. He makes only human beings in his likeness. That says something unique about you and I as human beings. Only you and I, of all of creation, were made by him in his likeness intentionally. But consider these things as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, it says that God declared that Israel, his people, to be his holy, chosen, and treasured possession. If you're a parent, you look at your children, particularly when they're first born, before they start doing a lot of crying and keeping you up at night, as your treasured possession, don't you? And along the way, when they do those wonderful little things that you wish that they would do every day and every hour, your mind thinks, oh, how thankful I am to have them. Of course, there are those other times when you want to kill them. But you like to hold on to those times that are treasured, don't you? You like to think about those times that they make you proud. You like to think about those times when you just watch them and you listen to them and you get back those reports. I remember so often when our daughters were in high school and they would go visit with other families and after they had visited, we would hear from those families maybe a few days later and they'd say, we're just so proud of your daughters. And we would say, Betty and I would look at each other and say, are you talking about our daughters? I can say that because they're here this morning, okay? But it made us proud. They were our treasured possession. And the older they got, the more treasured they are because they make us proud more and more all the time. In a like manner, though, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says of Christians, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Doesn't that sound very much like what God said about the ancient Jews? His people, his holy, chosen, precious people. So Christians share that same kind of aura, if you will, that same kind of mindset in the mind of God. You and I are valued at the highest possible level, particularly if we've chosen God to be our Father and our Lord and our Savior. Psalms 116 and verse 15 says something that is brought up every so often at the time someone who's a Christian has passed away. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And you know, a saint is not someone that has been decreed by a church or an individual. A saint is someone declared by God simply as someone who loves God and obeys God, who lives with and follows God. And so all of those people who have done that in the past and are doing it today and will do it in the future are considered saints to God. They're precious in His sight. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world," not just Jews, not just Christians, "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." How much does God value every person on earth? He intentionally sent His Son as part of His plan and purpose and value of us to be sacrificed for our sins. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, where John says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us." How much does Jesus value us? Despite all of the persecution He underwent, despite all of the things that were said about Him that were false, that were hurtful, despite all of the physical torture that He went through, despite hanging to die on a cross, one of the most horrendous ways possible to die, He did it out of His love for us. God could not value our lives more than to sacrifice His Son, and Jesus could not value our lives more than to willingly sacrifice His own life. After devoting Himself without success to finding meaning, purpose, and value in life by pursuing things limited to our earth life experience, King Solomon concluded his book of Ecclesiastes with these words: "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So you and I are left with these three questions. Let me attempt to answer them briefly and as succinctly as possible from a biblical point of view, from God's point of view, the point of view that He wants us to get a hold of and to believe in and to live by. What is the meaning of life? There is one God, and that one God creates and sustains His universe. He has created this for His glory and for our enjoyment. He's created us to be His children. Our lives have meaning when we understand this and when we live for Him. What is the purpose of life? We're here to be overwhelmed by God's greatness and to be drawn to Him in loving obedience of His will. We're to grow to be more like Him in character so that when our life comes to an end, we're ready to spend life without end with Him. That's our purpose. And what is the value of life? God sent His only Son to die for the sins of all human beings, of all times, all places, all ethnicities, all cultures. Our value is found in the immeasurable value of God's Son. When we see life through God's eyes, we give our life to Him. Have you given your life to Him yet? Have you found your meaning, your purpose, and your value in Him? If you have not yet, but you're searching for that, and if we can be of help to you, or if we can be of help in any way, we urge you to come forward this morning as we stand and sing this song.